All right, everybody. I'm here with the hockey team. We're having a nice little interview here. We've got. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
My name's Alex Herman, number 19 forward for the hockey team here.
I'm number 25, Joseph Chase.
And I'm John Eccles, head coach, Utah State Hockey.
And I'm Jason Walker. I guess I can introduce myself. I'm with Armchair Champions and I also write for the Statesman. And then I've also got Evan with me. And you want to just, I guess I got to give you the mic too.
Yeah, just with Aggie Radio Sports, kind of here to tag along today. So,
yeah, so I wanted to talk a little bit today about understanding hockey a little more. Because for me, I'm a guy who's primarily football and basketball, and a little bit of soccer along with that. And I've always wanted to know a little bit more about hockey, but I've never actually taken that jump to learn more about it. Because when I watch football and basketball, I know what's going on. When I watch hockey, all I know is you try to hit the puck in the goal, and that's about it. And so I want to do this interview not just for me, but also for a lot of viewers or readers and people around Utah State, help them do what I'm trying to do and understand hockey a little more. And so that's kind of the purpose of this interview. And so I wanted to start off with this question. So I say this, that all sports have their draw to fans, something that appeals to somebody. With football, it's a hard-hitting sport. Basketball, you have fast pace, it's really high scoring. Baseball, it's a simple thing, it's our pastime. And then there's soccer, it's nonstop, it's almost like a chess match on the turf. And so I wanted to ask you guys, what is it about hockey that sets it apart from other sports and makes it unique?
I'll answer that. And really, hockey, if you look at the game, it's a combination of all those things. You have aspects of football with the physicality. You know, we're moving at twice the speed that you can run at, running into each other with, you know, even less padding. And then there's the whole kind of mental aspect of it, of we are playing a chess match out there, but it's at the speed of basketball and at that intensity. If you look at hockey, there's a ton of references to soccer and the way, you know, we're positioned in forward and defense, and the way we move the puck is similar to how they move the ball in soccer, looking for an opening, trying to find a way to score.
Okay. And so you mentioned the different types of strategies and things that you do to move the puck around and score. And so I guess Alex kind of asked this question because you're one of the forwards or wingmen. What types of things do you do on offense to break down the defense other than just the obvious passing it around?
It's a numbers game. You have to be aware of what their defense. If you have less numbers, then you got to strategize where you got to dump the puck into their zone and then kind of attack with the forwards. We call it like a forecheck. And then if you have more numbers, then there's no need to do that. So then you try to establish like a dominance in the zone. So you go into attack and try to rush the net, trying to get the puck towards the net, or maybe find someone open on the wing and get a shot.
Okay. And so also for Joseph, on the defensive side, what types of things do you do to stop what Alex was just talking about?
There's a lot of different things. Mainly with my style of play, I, like Alex said, kind of you want to dominate them in their zone. It's the same thing on the defensive aspect. You want to dominate them in your zone and let them know every time they come down your side that you're going to hit them, give them a stick in the ankle or, you know, a cross check. Let them know that you're there all night and just start to wear on them mentally and physically.
Okay.
One of the nice things about being offensive and defense, I mean, all five guys that are on the ice are going in. If they're going into the other zone, we're on offense. So those defensemen are also looking, you know, they're looking for open ice. The forwards are looking for open ice, trying to get that little bit of freedom where someone can get a puck to them and have a scoring opportunity. As well as on the defensive end, it's just not the poor defensemen back there trying to, you know, defend our zone. The forwards have to get back and take their spots and their roles and play their position to support the D-men. And so it's a lot different, you know, where football's got their offensive guys and then their defensive guys. These guys have to be able to to do both in that sense.
Okay. And so everybody's kind of playing every position. Is there like a free flow of just people coming back playing defense and then going on offense?
No, we've got designated defensemen, designated forwards. Okay. But if JoJo decides, you know, if he's got a lane open, him and Alex are rushing down, JoJo may go into the zone. So then one of the forwards will drop back and cover JoJo's spot on the blue line until JoJo can cycle back up, because we definitely want our D-men there, you know, to protect us having to go back into our zones. But we give them the freedom, you know, to take that opportunity, because we've got some great defensemen that can, you know, have got good hands, good shots, and speed, and they complement the forwards complement the D.
Okay. And so how often do defensemen typically get shots off? Are they usually involved in the offense more as far as taking shots and assisting, or do they tend to be kind of passing the puck forward to the wing?
It depends if the forwards want to pass to them sometimes. Yeah. No, it's I'll let these guys answer that.
And I would say, just to kind of to answer that and what John's saying, is the game is just completely like fluent all the way throughout. You have to be, you know, able to play really any position. It just all depends on the situation you're in. And as a defenseman, you always have to be offensive-minded as well. You're just more defensive-minded in general, but you still have to focus on the offense as well. And it goes for the forwards. They, you know, are trying to score, but they have to play defense too. You know, it's a real team sport.
Yeah. And so I guess it's kind of like basketball in that sense, where you do need to be able to play both sides of the ice, I guess, in this case.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
So there's something that you mentioned, Joseph, a little back as far as hitting, and that got me really curious. What types of things go as far as hitting people? Are there perhaps unwritten rules, unwritten punishments you have, kind of like in baseball? What things go on as far as hitting people and, I guess, enforcement as far as defense?
You know, I'm kind of a little – I take a different stance on that, because I tend to bend the rules a little bit more than the average player or average defenseman. And it kind of goes to sometimes to the saying, what mama don't know, don't hurt her. You know, it's really a lot of just kind of gaining the mental aspect of, you know, showing your kind of dominance over the team. If every time they come into the corner around your net, you're there and you knock them down or, you know, do something to get in their way, they're going to remember that, and they're not going to want to go to those dirty areas or those physical areas. And so you always want to be clean, and you never want to, you know, intentionally try and hurt someone, but sometimes you give a guy an extra shot because he's doing something you don't like.
Yeah. So it's a psychological game that you can play with these offensive players.
Oh, definitely. You know, I like to think that it's a huge part of the game.
I mean, and just to kind of go on the offensive side of that, because once you get the puck, you are the target for defensemen. How do you develop that, I guess, enough that mental clarity or that vision on the ice to get your passes or your shots where they need to go, while also keeping in mind there are defensemen on your tail all the time?
For the I guess the forward aspect on that would be I go into every game knowing the fact that I'm gonna get hit probably 5 or 6 times that game, and I mean, I would take a hit easily to make a pass, because not only does it would take me out of the play, but it would also take the defender out of the play too, and hopefully there's, you know, 3 forwards, 2 defensemen, hopefully, you know, the 2-on-1 will develop into something. So just kind of, you know, also short memory out there too, if they're trying to like stick you and try to get in your head, just trying to forget about everything is usually a good way for the forwards to try not to let that happen, get in their head and stuff.
Okay, so you just got to keep it cool and all that stuff.
Yeah short tempered people usually end up sitting in the penalty box, where calm people usually play most minutes of the game. So
yeah, that's true.
One kind of unwritten rule is you don't go run the goalie. You don't go hit the goalie. A lot of times, if that happens, the closest player to him will either knock him down, punch him, jump him, You know, sometimes it results in us losing that player, but then again, you're sending a message like, you know, don't do it, you know. I mean, it's not like we're out there running your goalie. You know, you don't have to be doing it, you know. So it's – the goalie is kind of that sacred place you don't hit, you know. But some of them come out and are a little more aggressive, and it happens. So.
And so the goalie usually doesn't get hit, but sometimes he does, depending on how dirty a team wants to play, I guess.
Yeah.
If that's the way you would word it.
I mean, there's incidental times where, you know, yeah, I mean, a goalie comes out, offensive player gets knocked into him by the defenseman, you know, but still these guys are there to protect him because he is focusing on the puck, so sometimes he doesn't see everything that's going around him, and, you know, he's more of a target, I guess, in that sense, just because, you know, someone could, you know, blindside him easy.
Okay. All right, so another thing that I really wanted to talk about was substitutions in minutes, because when I look at, so the sports I follow, obviously football and basketball, substitutions, I understand those really well, but in hockey, it seems a little more confusing as far as line changes. They happen in time with the game. There's not a pause in play for it, and so...
Ideally, these guys at 45 seconds to a minute and 15 on the top end is about a good shift. Sometimes that doesn't always happen. Sometimes guys get stuck out there longer. Sometimes a guy will get on and get off. Just you try and take those opportunities when there's not a threat to us or we're not trying to score, you know, I mean, in a position. But any longer than that, you really run your gas tank dry, and it takes longer to recover on the bench. And it's tough sometimes. These guys don't realize it. For every shift that they're out there, it almost takes double the time for their bodies to recover. And as you go into the game longer, it takes almost three times the amount of time to recover. And so it's critical that, you know, you just go out there, you do your shift, something's happening, great. If not, get off, let the next shift go.
Okay. So what is the experience like for you guys as players? And we can start with Joseph, I guess, in the substitution process. Like, what's going through your mind as you're going in and out of the game?
Mostly, like, when you go out on the ice, like, you have the mindset of 45 seconds to a minute of full intensity, you know, as hard as you can go. And if you're out there, like, longer, it's like trying to sprint, you know, for longer than a minute. Not too many people, even very, you know, highly trained athletes, aren't going to be able to go a full out sprint for a minute. And so you tie yourself down really quickly. And so that's the whole point of, you know, that fluent line change and keeping it in. It's, you know, once you get tired, you head to the bench, get fresh legs out there, and it gives you a better chance.
And for the D, they're really trying to watch it because sometimes they don't want to both jump off at the same time because you might leave the whole back end open or the side. So they'll be talking, you know. And if a far side defenseman, you know, jumps or the close side jumps, the two defensemen will switch so that the one that's been out there longer is closer to the bench when he can take a jump. So.
Okay. What about you, Alex? What's the situation like for you?
I feel like for forwards, it's a little bit different than defense. Forwards, for me personally, I mean, I'm not keeping track of time, but it's probably around after 30 seconds, you're already kind of tired. So for me personally, like Joe as a defenseman likes to skate up with the puck a lot of times on the rush, and that would usually be a good time for forward to change is when you're going on to the attack to get fresh legs out there to join them, especially if the D-man going up, you have one D-man staying back, so you can switch out and that forward can kind of fill in that D-spot until you get everything established. But if you lose the puck and you have to go back on the back check, that's not a good time to change, and that's when you usually get into trouble as a forward of you're already tired and then you have to play defense. So for forwards, 30 seconds, then you probably want to look at getting a change on the rush, hopefully.
Okay. So. And so how many lines do you have on the team typically?
Well, we have 16 forwards and 8 defensemen. Normally we'll dress 6 D-men and 13 forwards, just because sometimes we'll dress a seventh defenseman and only dress 12 forwards. So during a game, we only have 4 lines of forwards, three players each, and then the D pairing is normally, you know, 2, depending on if we've dressed a defenseman or a forward. And we try and run all four of our forward lines just to keep legs fresh and then longer into the game. If it's critical, then Alex's line's going to have a little bit more energy when we can drop down to three lines or two lines. D-men the same way. We're fortunate. Our D-men are very skilled, so we can kind of keep those six going. But if injuries happen, have to drop down to five, you know, then we start a rotation, try and keep guys as fresh as they can.
Okay. And so, one question. What type of challenges do you guys tend to face throughout a game and perhaps throughout a season as far as things you'll run into, problems you have to overcome?
I'd say for me, mainly like throughout a season aspect, is taking care of your body. I'm not saying I'm really that old, but just over the years of playing a high intensity physical sport, your body starts to wear down a lot faster, and getting up for early morning skates, your bones are a little creaky and joints are aching, and you gotta take care of yourself, otherwise you're not gonna be able to perform out there on the ice or really just in life. But from a game aspect, really, like, there's challenges throughout the entire game, and it's not so much of like there being one big challenge or, it's a bunch of small challenges. Every time you're out on the ice, every shift, that's a new battle. So you're constantly facing challenges throughout the game.
Okay. So one thing you mentioned keeping your body in shape. What types of things do you guys do to keep in shape, to do training? Because in other sports you have weightlifting, cardio, and things like that. What types of things do hockey players do specifically to keep them in shape? Alex, do you want to answer that?
Most of us, either Anytime Fitness in town or the ARC, you'll see us in there lifting weights and stuff. Usually not doing too much cardio. Coaches' practices usually kind of take care of cardio when you're practicing game situations and all that stuff. It's a good way to condition yourself too. So stretching too. Stretching is a big part. We always stretch before every practice and game. So just those kind of things that is really all we can do.
A lot of these guys will get there early, especially at JoJo and Herm. And you'll walk in and they are stretching, and it might be 6:15. We don't hit the ice till 7. So they're kind of getting their bodies stretched out, warmed up, to ready hit. Other guys just throw their gear on and jump out there, skate around, and then kind of stretch. So, it's each guy is a little bit different. We try and tell the guys to get in the gym because it's important to lift. They lose a lot of weight during the season. A lot of it's muscle mass, trying to keep it up. So it's important for them to, to stay, in shape off the ice as well as on the ice. And, it's, again, these guys are carrying the school load, some of them work, some have families. It's difficult. Each guy, it's a little bit different.
Okay. So on the subject of practice, we have the physical aspect of it, keeping in shape. What sort of things do you guys do as far as skating technique, I guess, and also handling the puck? What types of things do you guys do? And how hard is it to actually handle the puck? That's another question.
You got to think these guys are standing on how thick of a blade?
2 centimeters.
Yeah, and it's sharp, and it's ice. And it's really a graceful sport if you sit back and watch it, with what these guys do on the ice. But a lot of our practices are used for working on systems, whether it's offensive system when we get into the offensive zone, or D zone systems to kind of, for the coverage. There's a neutral zone systems that we can run. And the season comes up on us fast. You can't all get it, and you hope that a lot of these guys are familiar with some. But a lot of the drills we try and incorporate as much of a game situation as possible, so passing, 2-on-1s or 3-on-2s or breakouts, physicality part. We're trying not to hurt each other, but we're still wanting to play physical, because if we don't do that in practice, all of a sudden we get in the game, we kind of forget, you know, and we're ended up getting hurt. We try and get a lot of shots in, you know, setting just all those things that they're going to have in a game. We try and get different drills that will kind of mesh them together.
So how does that help you guys as players, these drills? Does it help you?
I mean, systems is definitely, I would say, the most important thing. And it would be nice if you could just use one system the entire year, but it just depends on, you know, which teams you're playing that week, what you're going to do. I mean, there's so many different kinds of forechecks and D-zones that you could run. So, I mean, it's just always, not every week, but, you know, we switch it up a few different times a year. I mean, just kind of got to burn it into the brain, because a lot of times, I mean, hockey, you've got so many things going on that if it's kind of like burnt into your memory, you just kind of do it without thinking. So I think that's what we try to get accomplished at practice a lot, is just repetition, where to go, certain situations.
Okay. And so you mentioned like switching things up throughout the year against different teams. What types of things do you guys switch up?
Like this weekend, like when we play against the U, they're going to be probably a pretty good offensive team. So you could switch up a forecheck to where it'd be more conservative, to where you'd only have like one guy going in deep and two guys holding back with the defense. So it's more of a, they might get the first pass, but then there's going to be somebody there to body up on the guy and get the puck back in deep. As where maybe when we play someone like BYU, you don't have to do that, because that team's probably not going to be too offensive about it. So you could be more focused on like an attack, like aggressive forecheck, where you send multiple guys in to go get the puck.
This weekend we've got UNLV coming in tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Sorry, and they're used to playing on small ice. So for us, that's an advantage to us being more aggressive, and you know, getting on them. Trying to force them to make turnovers, it's going to be an advantage to us. Utah plays on Olympic ice just like us, so like Alex said, we got to try and adjust to see, and we got to see how, what they're doing and how they run and what their systems are, and then you kind of, it's a chess match.
Okay. And so you guys, you keep mentioning forechecks, and I kind of learned a little bit about what it is, but can you kind of explain to me, you mentioned there's different types of forechecks, so you're essentially kind of small offensive systems, or even perhaps plays, you might say?
Yeah.
As far as things you're doing?
Yeah, so if we're going in and I dump the puck in, whoever the close, like if you're playing conservative, whoever the closest forward, they would go and try to wait for their team to make their first move with the puck, where the other guys would be kind of back, kind of by the blue line on the boards, along with the D, waiting for them to move the puck, hopefully up the wall, where you can body up. And then like an aggressive one would be, instead of one guy going in to help them force a play, you have one guy attack them and then have another guy there for support to either help dig the puck out if there's they bodied up, or to hopefully cut their first pass off. So
okay. On the first one that Alex talked about, you're trying to make, you know, make a funnel. Funnel them into where you want them, and cause them either turnover or to dump the puck down into the zone before they're ready to, because then it gives our D-men a chance to get back and retrieve it, and then we can turn around and come back on the offense. So each system is kind of structured depending upon the team you're playing and kind of what they're doing.
Okay. And so when you say dump the puck, you mean sort of clear it out, put it into a specific part of the
ice?
Once
you hit the red line, if you're outnumbered, like Alex said earlier, Joe, if he's going, once you hit the red line, we're trying to, if we're outnumbered, we're trying to put the puck in a corner or a soft chip so our forward, who's got speed, can jump down in there. So if Joe comes up with the puck on the red line, he sees Alex cutting across to the middle hard, he's going to just maybe lay it softly in the corner, because he's going to have the speed, the defenseman looks, he's going to have to turn around, and Alex should be able to, you know, get him down into the corner, get the puck.
Yeah, it's pretty much like it's throwing the puck or shooting the puck into an area where you feel comfortable that your team would be able to regain possession to where you can execute your forecheck, which is pretty much like your defensive attack in your offensive zone, the other team's defensive zone. It's a forecheck is really just trying to gain back possession of the puck in the other team's defensive zone.
Okay, and so dumping off basically sort of a pass.
Yeah.
Except not direct, it's an indirect pass.
Yeah, perhaps. Indirect pass, like kind of an area pass. You're throwing it to an area where you feel like your teammate will be the first one there.
Okay.
Same thing in football. Quarterback drops back. They're throwing it to the far corner. There might not be a player there, but there's a player that's going to get there.
Yeah, they're hoping he's going to get there before the defender does.
Exactly.
Okay. So I just had a few last questions before we finish this up. And really it's more about things I'm questioning about that I'm intrigued by. Like, one is skating and how that affects, you know, really the entire game as far as different things you have to do. I know defensemen, you have to skate backwards a lot. And what's that like?
Really, like, it's, I don't even think about it anymore. It's pretty much, like, just like walking to me now. I've been skating forwards and backwards pretty much my whole life. So, you know, it's the same as, like, puck handling. It just becomes second nature to you because you do it so much. You know, it's really, you don't even think about it when you're out on the ice. Yeah.
How long does it take you to get a sort of mastery? Like you said, skating is now like walking for you, and then puck handling becomes second nature to you. How long does it take to acquire that level of skill?
It depends. Like, I don't know. I feel like learning as a kid is always easier to do things, you know. It depends on the person, but it takes time. It takes a lot of time, you know, learning to skate and learning to handle the puck and, you know, feel comfortable with it. It takes a lot of time. It takes years of practice, you know. Everyone in the locker room, they've been playing for, you know, a good majority of their life.
Alex, you have anything to add to that?
No, Joe said it best. Just feels like walking out there almost, so.
Do you guys feel weird when you come back and go from skating to walking? Does it ever feel weird to do that? To get back onto more solid ground?
Or feels nice to take my skates off.
That's, I know that feeling.
Yeah. Feet kind of hurt after a while, so.
They're not the most comfortable thing to wear.
Yeah, I can imagine. All right, well, that's about all I got for today. Thank you guys so much for coming in. I know I've learned a lot as far as hockey, and I hope to continue as I cover you guys that I'll be able to learn more and become more of a fan. And I'm really looking forward to this season. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate you guys.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Thanks for having us on.
All right, good luck this season.